Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Mashup Sports Radio. Sorry, we are starting early, and we have had some crazy technical difficulties. I don't know what the deal was. We weren't allowed to schedule at our normal time, so we're on now. It's spur of the moment. I got my host Nick Payne on with me. Nick, how's it going today, bro?
Hey, all right, boy. How you doing?
Oh, just crazy. You tried to shut us down, huh?
They can't stop it.
Nah, they can't. Well, I want to get into, obviously, last week's pay-per-view numbers. That's just what's been buzzing all over the country. It's a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of talking, a lot of people on our different boxing pages talking about it, too, also. Golovkin obviously looked great. Me and you talked about it for a while, but at the end of the day, Nick, they wrote a couple articles and they complained about, you know, who's the next pay-per-view star, who's the next pay-per-view star. And then when Golovkin's numbers don't do as well as they should, Dan Rayfield and all the other people will sit around and say, oh, well, with competition to college football and this, this, and that. Something I brought up in the show, that's why I went to 150,000, but Madison Square Garden was sold out. And to me, I'm really sick of it, and I always complain about it. They sell the narrative that they want to sell instead of just admitting that they did wrong. Because if you call Floyd Mayweather's pay-per-view sales a bust at 500,000 copies, then I don't understand how you can't call this a bust. And the next fight will be obviously going to have to be on pay-per-view, on HBO for free. In addition to that, with the Canelo Cotto winner, now they have the financial advantage because the pay-per-view numbers didn't do too well. So give me your opinion on the fight overall, and then also talk to me about his 150,000 pay-per-view rise and explain to me why some people in the boxing media just can't admit that they bias and are obsessed with certain people, but they try and downgrade other people.
All right. Well, as far as the fight goes, Corey, I was, I was kind of in that category of not wanting to have to purchase the pay-per-view, but I was the matchup itself I thought was, going to be pretty fun. So I had nothing against the matchup itself, but definitely I didn't want to have to pay for this. But I was lucky enough to get a couple of buddies together and help pitch in, so it wasn't too bad. And so, yeah, I viewed the fight, and I will say that it went almost exactly how I predicted, only I didn't think it was going to be that much of a shutout for Golovkin. And what the whole deal was Golovkin's jab was on point all night, which is exactly what I figured he was going to do against Lemieux. He was going to keep him at a distance because, I was going back. At first I was thinking this was a really good matchup. This was going to be, I wasn't really sure exactly. I had given Golovkin the edge. But then as the fight grew closer throughout the day, I was just watching a lot of David Lemieux's fights, past fights, and I started picking out more things that I didn't really notice before, and it was he can't fight on the outside at all. He has to get really close to you. He doesn't really know how to set up his punches. Yeah, he's strong. He's got a lot of power, but he doesn't really know how to, I guess, apply it in a way that makes it his most effective. He can't slip jabs. He doesn't have really that good a head movement. And his foot placement is really, really bad. He was off balance a lot of times during that fight. And I'm telling you what, Golovkin just picked him apart with that jab, set everything up. It was beautiful. It wasn't like one of those flickering jabs like you see sometimes from these guys. It was a punishing jab. It kept Lemieux on the outside. Lemieux had no answer for it at all. He had no idea what to do. He couldn't get inside. He couldn't land his punches. He basically got beat up that night, and he got beat up badly. So I know, the referee had stopped in to stop the fight round eight. But, Lemieux apparently, complained about that. But if you look at that fight, right before the referee had stepped in, it wasn't just me who saw it. There was a couple of my buddies who were watching it too. Lemieux looked at the referee at one point when he was getting hit with a couple shots, and it almost looked as if he looked for a mercy stoppage from the referee. Now, whether that's the case or not, I don't really, can't say for sure.
But he had that look. You know, he had that look like, just somebody stop this without me having to look bad by quitting. And honestly, it didn't look like he had any chance of winning that fight at all. It was terrible. So as far as the pay-per-view numbers go, like I said, I personally, I didn't really want to pay for it. I didn't think it was something that was necessarily needed to be on pay-per-view. But like I said, an intriguing matchup at the time. You know, like I said, get a couple plays together. Okay, fine. It might be a fun night. But unfortunately, it was a shutout. And, yeah, man, this pay-per-view thing, like you said, they talk about Mayweather having a bombing, you know, when he fights some of these other guys and these pay-per-view numbers aren't as high. But, you know, hey, that's heck of a lot. That's, what, double, more, triple than what you got with these other guys, Triple G and Lemieux. And, you know, hey, that's just the way it is, man. I mean, you know how these people are. They're crooked. They're liars. They want you to think this, but then they pull this rabbit out of their hat. It's so back and forth. Nobody really knows what's going on with these things because there's no truth behind it. It's all business, and, you know, it's all about selling, but at the same time, you know, it's not always the smart deal, I would say.
I was personally super happy when I saw a lot of commenters on Rayfield's last article step up and say, you know, y'all complain about this and y'all complain about that with Floyd, but he had, you said, only 300,000. That's still double what he worth, and it was still less than what they expected. They expected 200,000. And obviously somebody said, well, Floyd's used to doing this, so it's a failure in his standards. It's like, you know, it can't be a failure in his standards. A failure is a failure. A success is a success. If you're going to sit there and you're not going to, if you're going to, your headline is going to say Floyd Mayweather's stands were packed and full, then you need to say the same thing. Just like one of the jackasses writing an article saying at the Berto Mayweather fight there were some empty seats. Well, guess what? At the Posto Matisse fight, there were some empty seats. So, I mean, it's so much jackass, like, involved in some of these articles. It almost makes you think, like, you're either getting paid with somebody or you got a bias. And if that's the case, then we don't want to read your columns because you're not telling the truth and the whole truth. And let me ask you this, Nick. Why doesn't HBO invest in USA? And what I mean by that is they'll put Pacquiao on pay-per-view, Golovkin pay-per-view, Sergey Kovalev. All great fighters, love watching. But you guys like got guys like Amir Iman, Nick, that don't even have a home yet. And you sitting here pushing all these other guys. Rigondeaux stopped, as you know, left his contract of pay-per-view because they were sitting there talking trash about him when he used to fight on TV, and he would put on a show, and they'd say, oh, there's some empty seats here right in the middle of the broadcast. But it's like they don't say that about some of the other guys. So it's just like, what is the deal with HBO? Why don't they invest in the American? Why are they invested in everybody else but people here? That's what I don't get right now.
Yeah, it's crazy for him. Like I said, it's really, how you say it, it's confusing. Like I said, it's craziness. You know, I personally, I can't even, you know, fathom what's really going on behind the scenes, man. You know, like you said, you've got these people, man. They do all these kind of crazy, make these crazy decisions. You know, like you said, you got De La Hoya complaining about, I'm sorry, what's his name? The one he's suing.
Heyman,
yeah. And, you know, and then you had, you know, back in the day, you know, you had Bob Arum, and he was talking bad about Mayweather, and they were going at it with Golden Boy and this and that. And you know, now you got, well, who's the star? We're putting together these fights that are no good, and then, you know, we don't want to put them on TV. And, you know, it's just there's so much crap and controversy going on in there, man, that it's hard to keep up with anything. You know, I mean, what's really going on is the question that's always in my head. Like, I don't have no idea, man. So, you know, hopefully, you know, things can get straightened out. Hopefully, you know, through the show and things like that, we can voice things out to make some changes. But, you know, hopefully we'll straighten the road out, man. But right now we got some bumps in there. And like I said, who knows? Who knows what's going on in these people's minds?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty sickening to me. You know, the bias sometimes is ridiculous. Like when Triple G does it, it's an excuse. college football, this and that. And it's just like, you know, just give up the bullshit, man. Because that's what you're feeding us. You're feeding us a bunch of bull crap. And it gets old after a while. Like, hey, man, look, be fair. Fair is fair. You know, if I'm Floyd Mayweather and I'm these guys, I'm like, man, you know what? I'm going to start to straight up destroy all of you guys. Like, I'm provoking media credentials left and right. There's no way you're getting media credentials to my next fight with this jackass way of reporting. It's just like, that's why Adrian Broner went off on Dan Rayfield the last time, and he said, you know what, I'm not giving him no inside scoop. And then he tried to sit around and say, well, oh, that's fine, this and that. But I think more of them should start doing that and just say, you know what, man, we don't need you. Because if you look at it, Posto versus Matisse did 600 and some thousand views. Broner did 500,000 views. Both of them, in my opinion, as I talked before, Nick, did some amazing views for college football being on right now. You know, you're competing with football. And as I said before, what you should be doing when it comes to football and all this stuff is you should be having the best of the best on, meaning that every other week we got Canelo Cotto or we got Bradley versus Rios and so many things. And then you even like Rios. Rios is a perfect example of what you call an American. He was born and raised Mexican-American. He was born and raised in Garden City, Kansas. And how come they not putting all this, you know, promotion into Rios? So it's very frustrating. It's very aggravating that they put all these, you know, marketing tools and all the type into some of these other fighters. And we got plenty of fighters right here, as I said earlier, like Amir Mansour and a couple other names, and we don't put no stock into them. It's just thoroughly frustrating. I don't get it.
Yep. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, there's just some weird, I guess you can call it politics. Who knows? You know, it's crazy, man. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't really have much control over that. But hopefully, like I said, this reaches the ears of the people, and hopefully, you know, the more we get the voice out there and talking about our problems and our issues with boxing as boxing heads and boxing lovers, it reaches the right ears and people start, you know, speaking out a little more maybe, and eventually it reaches the right people, and hopefully there can be some change in the game.
Well, somebody said it best. They said, you know, it's funny that, you know, Dan Rayfield is jackass from the Washington Post. Y'all keep writing these articles trying to hype certain people up and play certain people down. But he said, don't you understand that no matter what you do, it's certain people that have high pay-per-view numbers no matter what? So what does that tell you, idiot? What does that tell you? Like, at some point, you're going to have to start going towards the narrative of the people that buy the stuff, because, as you see, most people ain't listening to your garbage. 300,000 people, 400,000 people still buying Mayweather's fight after you're trying to throw it down, and only 150,000 people buying the Triple G fight after you try and hype it up. And every time you try and make an excuse. Even like Canelo, I love Canelo, he's the next big star. But the fight right after Floyd, he tried to do all pay-per-view, and he sold like 200,000 the next two, and then that didn't go well quick. And then Oscar De La Hoya and them said, all right, let's redo this. He tried to compete with Floyd with James Kirkland and do it on the same day, and then he saw that he would lose, and then he went back. And it's just like, let's build up a pay-per-view star, Nick. Now, I'll tell you this. If Triple G would have fought Andre Ward, Nick, we all would have pitched in and bought pay-per-view, and it probably would have sold a crap load of units. But if you're going to tell me Berto versus Mayweather is the garbage, I mean, to me, Lemieux versus Golovkin was the exact same damn thing. You still ain't fought nobody that's going to make us be like, okay, even when Floyd fought Canelo, we can at least be like, okay, that's a tough one if he didn't fight Pacquiao. Well, if he fought Robert Guerrero at the time, that was a solid competitor. But everybody that Triple G has fought it, we can't honestly sit back and be like, oh, that's tough.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I agree with that.
You know, so I think it's funny that, you know, they keep on trying to push some, but the numbers, like they say, men lie, women lie, numbers do not lie, Nick. The numbers show that there's certain things that the audience going to gravitate to. And telling us that Triple D's the next HBO star is a bunch of horse crap because we don't know who the next HBO star is. It's based on numbers. It may be Terrence Crawford. It may be Canelo. It could be Adrian Broner. As annoying as Adrian Broner is, you need guys like Adrian Broner in boxing because they keep stuff going. They keep media hype around them. You know, everybody can't be tight-lipped and have something stuck up their butt every time they talk because we'd all fall asleep. I mean, it's boring. We need somebody to throw some BS in there to be like, this dude's crazy. We need that.
Yep, yep. That's right, man. Some drama. That's what we like.
All right. So now back to the story as I went off on my rant. Your favorite fighter, Coach Payne's lover, Terrence Crawford, is back in the ring tonight. Let's talk about it. He seemed pretty pissed off at the weigh-in. I don't know if you saw the video on Texas Boxing Fans. By the way, thank you, Texas Boxing Fans. We're almost at 1,000 likes. Let's keep doing this. And what do you think about De'Ari John? I know he fought Lamont Peterson and he talks a lot of trash, but what do you think about this fight tonight?
You know, I don't really know too much about the man himself, the opponent. I'm going to have to probably check some out here today before I catch the fight tonight. But, you know, right off the top, if Terrence Crawford is anything, you know, like he's been, and I feel like I haven't seen the guy in a while. I don't know if that's just me missing him or what. but, you know, if he comes in tonight as good as he's been in the past, I think we're going to, you know, see if Terrence Crawford come out with a win. Heck, possibly even a knockout. I mean, the guy, you know, I got to tell you, he's something about Terrence Crawford. It wasn't, at first in the beginning, it was kind of just a skill that I noticed in him. And then I also noticed that the guy has kind of a mean streak in him a little bit. I mean, he can get pretty, I don't know, something about him. He's kind of mean, man. You know, I've seen him sometimes when he's, I think it might have been his last fight with, might have been Beltran, I believe it was, that I looked at, that I noticed that. And he didn't show, man, he beat the crap out of that guy, man, made him look terrible. So Terrence Crawford definitely, he seems nice, but when he gets in the ring, he can definitely turn it up. And he's got incredible skill. Yes, I'm a huge fan of Terrence Crawford. I think his skill level is just, you know, out of this world. I think he's got great talent, and he seems to do all the right things in there. I believe it was Thomas Delorme that he has fought a while back. That fight, I expected a little bit more out of Terrence Crawford in that fight. But, you know, eventually he was able to do what he needed to do and get the win against Delorme. So, I don't know, man. I'm not sure what to think. I feel like it's been a little while. I'm anxious to see him get back in the ring, see how he's doing, see if everything's tacked, if he's been working hard, and see where his skill level is at right now. But I'm excited, man, because he definitely brings it, yeah, to the fights, and he's one of those one of a kind of guys. You know, he can get the job done, and he's got what it takes. So hopefully everything goes well, and we get to see him more often in the future.
Yeah, and that, like I said, that could be our next HBO star. And tell me about this rumor. I heard somebody said that Manny Pacquiao is backing out versus Amir Khan, and he may be trying to fight Lucas Matisse. And a lot of people have been saying, you know, where's the chicken dance at now? Because they would call Floyd Mayweather the chicken in this point. What do you think about that if Manny Pacquiao fights Lucas Matisse? Because to me, I really, if Manny only fights on HBO pay-per-view, I really wouldn't buy that fight. I would buy Amir Khan, but I'm not going to see somebody who just lost to Victor Postol.
Yeah, that's crazy you said that, man. I haven't heard anything about that, but if that is true, you're right. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Matisse just lost to Postol, and it wasn't just a decision, you know what I mean? The guy went down, and he decided he wasn't going to get back up and finish that fight, so he was put down. And I just don't see how that would even be a feasible thing or an idea in anybody's head. I don't know. I would hope that that's not going to happen. I think there's a lot of other options out there for Manny Pacquiao, especially if it's going to be his last fight, as I've heard. So, I don't know, man. And to be honest with you, I don't think Matisse could handle Pacquiao. And the reason being is that I think, you know, Pacquiao is a little little too speedy and moves around too much. And I know Batista had some trouble with people like that. And Manny's just on another level as far as his movement and lateral movements and angles and stuff like that. And, of course, you know, the guy has good pop as well, as we know, right? So, yeah, I think that'd be a bad matchup at this point for sure. And I don't know, man. I haven't heard that, but if that is true, like I said, hopefully that won't come about, and hopefully Manny will pick a different opponent, give somebody else a shot who deserves it.
And one thing's for damn sure, that's something me and you will not be paying for on the damn pay-per-view,
no,
that's for sure.
No, I don't care if all my buddies got together and paid it, bought it for me. And don't get me wrong, you know, like I haven't jumped off the Matisse boat. He's still a fun guy to watch. I'm still a Matisse fan. It's just that he just doesn't have what it takes to fight with the elite, apparently. But definitely an exciting fighter, and I still wouldn't mind seeing him fight against, you know, maybe lesser opponents in the future, and maybe have a chance of building himself back up. But, you know, like I said, it's still a fun guy to watch, but definitely I'm not going to pay to see Matisse. That part's over. So it's unfortunate, but that's, you know, that's how I feel about it. Obviously, that's how you feel about it. But, yeah, I'm really hoping Pacquiao goes a different route with this one.
Yep. I'm going to go ahead and go over the fight schedule real quick while we got a couple minutes of streaming left. Next week, we got one of the Charlo twins back in the ring. We also got a fight on Telemundo, as usual. Bounce TV, Tony Thompson versus Malik Scott. That's heavyweights. They just made an announcement that December 19th, Brian Jennings will be getting back in the ring on HBO Boxing After Dark. We got Antoine Douglas on November 6th on Showtime. November 7th, obviously, Bradley Rios. I can't wait to see Coach Payne's reaction 2 weeks from now when that comes on. Lawson versus Kaiser in Liverpool. We also got Fox Sports 1 in Austin. That'll be taking off November 10th, so that'll be middle of the week. PBC, Edwin Rodriguez versus Michael Seals. Then we have a CBS one that you talked about last week, Sportsnet, and we'll have Zab Judah versus Juan Carlos. Can't wait to see Judah back in the ring. Gary Russell defends his crown again on November 14th on Showtime. And we got some True TV, Gilberto Ramirez. I'm ready to see him fight somebody, you know, legit. November 21st, Cotto versus Alvarez, the big one. I think that'll be the biggest, you know, well, that'll be the second biggest sale, and they won't top Mayweather Pacquiao.
Definitely.
Then the 25th, we got Irizarry Lara back in the ring on PBC. And then we got Klitschko Fury supposedly scheduled for November 28th. That same night, we got Bigil versus Boutte, which would be a heck of a fight. So we got flipped back and forth again with the stupidity. Jacobs versus Quillen, December 5th. And December 11th, they're still making some cards for it. December 12th, it looks like they're still making some cards for it. December 19th, we got HBO boxing. And then we'll see what's on for the new year. And other than that, you know, we got about 4 or 5 big mega fights we're ready to watch. But, you know, other than that, you know, it was just really frustrating. And I made a YouTube video, and I put it on our Boston fans page, Coach Nick, about is he the next pay-per-view star or not. Pay-per-view star is based on, you know, one daggone thing. And that one daggone thing is point-blank period how many units you bought. Whether you like it or not, whether you Adrian Broner is your best fighter, whatever you want to do, that's what pay-per-view units are based on. It's based on sales. So you can't say somebody's the next HBO star or a pay-per-view star unless it's based on sales. Yeah, Madison Square Garden will be sold out because it's a boxing city. Houston, Texas, right. You know, San Antonio, Texas will be sold out. Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Chicago, Philadelphia, any of those big boxing cities, that fight would have been sold out for because it's a lot of boxing heads. But the next pay-per-view star is based solely on numbers. So stop selling me that BS narrative and let's just have good fights. Because a lot of us would love to see Terrence Bud Crawford versus Brandon Rios or Bradley or Adrian Broner or whoever down the road. And obviously if Crawford and Broner built up the hype, that's probably something that would actually do good on pay-per-view just because those two fighters are somebody that people would like to see fight. His big mouth, his big skill.
Yep. That's all.
you know, other than that, brother, I'm ready to go. Sorry we had this random spurt of the show. I don't know what's going on, but I'll get on top of that so we get our, you know, time set up perfectly for next week. Anything you want to say to the boxing heads right now before we get out of here?
You know what, actually, I do. I want to mention real quick, if anybody who didn't get to watch the Lemieux and Golovkin fight, if you didn't get the pay-per-view, there was an excellent undercard on that. Very exciting fight. But this one guy, I want to go ahead and put his name out there quick. I just learned about the guy. Is I think it was Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, I believe his name. If you haven't seen the guy before, look him up, check him out. He fought Brian Deloria last weekend on the undercard, and it was a beautiful fight. And Chocolatito is now, you know, according to the commentator, that he has been put at possibly number one pound for pound. Apparently, this guy's been around a long time. This is like his third, fourth weight class moving up. I didn't know anything about him. I heard about him, but it's the first time watching him. And I'm gonna tell you right now, it was beautiful. This guy has some tremendous skill. Great. He looks like he's somebody I'm gonna definitely want to keep my eyes on and watch and continue watching his career blossom, because he is an incredible fighter. If you haven't seen him, go on YouTube or whatever, get a chance to go look at him. It was amazing, Corey. And I'm very, very impressed with Chocolatito, and I hope to see more of him in the future. I just want to throw it out there.
All right, I'll be on it, and I'll check that out also. But, you know, we got a lot more to talk about. We'll talk about more next week. We got so many different issues to talk about. But, you know, I'm glad we got this one in. Glad we got to review the fight from last week. And we got three or four more big ones to go before the year's over.